Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
Coffee farmers get a new brew from Starbucks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Starbucks has announced a series of measures to improve the livelihood of its coffee suppliers in East Africa. The company is responding to a campaign to push up the price paid to coffee farmers. Stephen Beard reports from London.
Starbucks says it will double the amount of coffee it buys in East Africa. It's also planning to advise local farmers on how to improve the quality of their beans. The company is also putting more money into health and education projects. Stuart Fowkes of the UK-based charity Oxfam welcomes the move, but says Starbucks is still blocking Ethiopia's plan to trademark some of its coffees. A better way to raise the farmers' standard of living, he says.
This scheme is something that we see very much as being a long-term and sustainable solution for Ethiopian farmers to work their way out of poverty, and also as an opportunity for Starbucks to lead the way within the industry and show that the really beneficial work can be done with coffee farmers and with coffee cooperatives.
Ethiopian coffee farmers earn, on average, $1.60 a pound for their product. That's only 1% of the price per pound that coffee shop customers pay. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The growing trade gap between China and the U.S. is prompting some action from Beijing. China says it will buy more American-made products and step up its efforts to crack down on people who make and sell counterfeit goods. Beijing says it's ready to expand imports from the U.S. and hopes America will relax controls on high-tech products to China. Comments from Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke caused the market to take off yesterday, especially blue-chip stocks. The Dow powered up 87 points to a new record, closing at 12,741. The Nasdaq jumped 28 points to 2488. The S&P grew 11 points. It's at 1455. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei soared to a near 7-year high, up 144 points or 0.8%. The SEC is looking for ways to protect corporations and accounting firms accused of fraud. It wants to set a legal standard for lawsuits and limit awards. But does that move the agency away from its mission to protect investors? Marketplace's Steve Tripoli has that story.
Business and accounting interests want investors to prove a high likelihood of illegal intent by companies before they sue. They're tired of making large damage awards and defending themselves against what they say are frivolous lawsuits. Accounting firms are especially vulnerable, but securities law professor Jill Fish says the idea of capping damages against accountants won't help anyone.
Either the caps have to be so low that you remove accountability of accounting firms for wrongdoing, or they're high enough that it doesn't meaningfully change their exposure if they engage in serious wrongdoing.
Thanks to consolidation, there are only 4 big accounting firms left. The SEC says unless the standards on lawsuits change, that number could shrink further. Investor groups say their protections are being eroded, but the SEC argues it's trying to encourage competition and prevent business from going overseas. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
2 former Enron Energy traders involved in efforts to manipulate California's energy prices were sentenced yesterday. Jeffrey Richter was an executive in Enron. Timothy Belden was the top West Coast energy trader for the company. Both received 2 years probation and a $10,000 fine after they cooperated with authorities.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, working with Habitat for Humanity to build over 350 homes this year with families in need. On the web at thriventbuilds.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
It's been a rough week for NASCAR. A cheating scandal has buffeted the Daytona 500. 2-time winner Michael Waltrip's crew chief and team director were tossed from the race for cheating. Both were suspended indefinitely after an illegal substance was found in Waltrip's new Toyota Camry during an inspection. 5 teams have now been caught cheating during preparations for the race. The big story beyond the scandals was the entry of Toyota into the NASCAR circuit. The strategy is marketing, but the goal is money and a growing share of the U.S. market. David Carter is executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. Toyota is already increasing its market share and could move past GM as the number two automaker this year. I asked Carter why Toyota needs to join NASCAR.
For me, asking why a major corporation would want to align with NASCAR, a little bit like asking why an investment banker may want to be on Wall Street for the first part of his career. It's where the action is. And I think Toyota realizes just how strong NASCAR has been historically in helping businesses grow their business. And certainly last year TV ratings were off a little bit. There was some softness in attendance at certain tracks. But it's pretty evident heading into this year that NASCAR is poised for some growth.
Why this year?
First of all, the arrival of Juan Montoya, noted race car driver, won the Indy 500, has abandoned Formula One for NASCAR. And I think that allows NASCAR to tell a story about how they can build their audiences internationally. Television is another. You have ABC and ESPN back in this. Combine that with what Fox is doing. Fox has been very committed to this sport. So you have some stability on television. And then finally, I think NASCAR has changed its championship format. They've increased the number of drivers that are eligible to win the title. They've tweaked some of the rules to make sure that racing week to week is competitive for those drivers that want to win. And so they've refined their product. They've nailed down television again, and they brought on some real star power. Those things really tend to help.
No Toyota driver placed higher than 14th on Sunday. Does the automaker have to win at NASCAR in order to achieve his goal?
I don't think they have to win initially. I think what's important is there's going to be unprecedented notoriety this year for Toyota and for NASCAR, and there will be a lot of focus on them. But winning and consistently finishing first or second in these races, I think, is less important than penetrating NASCAR, being steady, showing some progress, and getting past what is going to be a learning curve.
So what are the chances 10 years from now it'll be baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Toyota?
Well, I'm not sure that's their ultimate goal. If you take a look at younger consumers, I'm not convinced that they're thinking baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie at this point. Maybe action sports, iPods, and Red Bull. I think what we're seeing is the sports consumer is really changing, and how sports reaches them is important. And so I think Toyota is poised again to really understand and build its brand using motorsports as a backdrop.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David Carter is executive director for the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.